Well, hello, friends. Can you guess what I am?
Ooh, I am a ghost of the long ago.
If you guess ghost, you're right. And why were you trying to sound like a ghost, Hardy? Have you died? And you're still doing the show just out of habit? Probably. But also, I would like to talk to you today about ghosts. Oh my goodness, they've been around for a long time. How long? Well, we only know since their recorded history, but we do know when that was. I am reading a book by Irving Finkel. Now, he is a Assyriologist, I think that's how you say it, at the BM. That's the British Museum of Bowel Movements and Other Historical Events. And he studies the cuneiform print on those clay tablets. Have you ever seen? They look like a cow patty. And they take like a stylus, what they call a stylus. I have a different, we call that something else. And they poke it in there. And then it dries. And they've got, that's their writing. So it isn't like our script and everything. And it looks like Klingon. But it's very interesting, and he understands the language it's in. It's something with a K in, with 20 Ks in it or something. I don't know. But it's the language of ancient Babylon and all that. You're getting it wrong, Hardy. Listen, I'm not a detail person like Joe Rogan, and I'm just telling you the gist of something because I'm getting to a broader point that's also irrelevant and really not very important. Oh, my goodness, low stakes is just the best. Imagine a casino where they pay you to not go there. No, that's not even, that makes everything a casino. No, it isn't. Oh my goodness, is that confused thinking? I don't think so. This is the way we should think when we're around ghosts, because they'll get up in your head. They are predators on psychological things, so we're not going to give them anything to eat psychologically. So Irving Finkel's exploring the very first ghost stories. People saying, I have ghosts and everything. And mainly the writing is about what to do about it. Their incantations and who to hire. There's a whole thing, you know, if you have ghosts, it's just like we pest control now, except it was the spirits of the dead. And did they spray things for them? Yes. That's the thing. It's just exactly like that. So there's really, what's the difference between an earwig and the essence of your late father? Little. So what they would do is they would have these incantations and everything they would say, and they would, maybe even people would get ghosts in their dreams. They'd be haunted. And you could, there was stuff to do for that. You say, I'm having ghosts in my doctor. I don't know what they call it, the exorcist. Maybe exorcist. Exorcist. Or X, I call my doctor Doc, so maybe they, hey X, I got these ghost dreams, is there anything I can do? And go, well, yes, you can, there's some like unction, I think it's called, for your feet. We're going to put that on there. Unction. And we're going to say some words, and I'm going to give you some things to say to the ghosts, and they're mainly empty threats, but they're just like, I've contacted the authorities, ghost authorities, and you're going to hear about this. I do not want to be touched in my sleep by a ghost, you say. Sometimes the ghost is following you. Sometimes it's a relative. We've all had that. And that's what to say to them, because you've got to be tactful, but also very stern. So you are not welcome here, Auntie, and I don't know why you're here, but if it's anything like real life, I guess you're going to hint for a loan, and I don't have any ghost money right now. Hell money? Is that what they call? I'll hit the Chinese grocery store later, but right as of now, you need to go, and there would be spells and everything, incantations for that. Now, Dr. Finkel points out that he has found what he thinks is the first mumbo jumbo, and that is magical words that are nonsense words that are used to, ooh, like abracadabra. We have that one, and that has some origin, but we don't know what it means, and nobody who uses it knows where it's from or what it means. And they did that back in the Stampin' on Clay Tablets day, apparently. And they borrowed some barbaric language that they didn't really understand, but they liked the sound of. And what it had in it was the kh sound, like it sounded like Klingon. So they say, oh, I got ghosts, and go, stand back. Or everything. There's Vulcan. And they do that and people, oh, that sound is very ancient. It sounds ancient. Because we just all know that ancient people had more guttural sounds. And they're like, ah. In the very beginning, it was just, it sounded like a bunch of people vomiting. And so here they, oh, that person's a great orator. And he goes, just sounds like he's heaving up chunks. I go, no, not at all. That is what you're hearing is a sonnet. Do you hear there's a other that gagging sound appears at the end of every line. So these spells, these nonsense words, and we don't have that sound, I don't believe, in English except for the one word, and it's a hach in lesson. I got a hachalugi, where you literally, because it's onomatopoeia plus phlegm. So it gets the word, helps you to hawk the loogie, which is just really very, very sticky phlegm, supernaturally sticky phlegm. And you think, maybe it has a ghost in it, because it does look like that viscous stuff that's in the movie. So I don't know whether it's the throat snot is that we don't like to think it's the same stuff. Oh, you know, the stuff in my nose, that's separate but equal. There's no, they're not connected. Oh, yes, they are. Drips right down your throat. That's just throat snot. And you don't like to think of it that way. Oh, my goodness. You're all bag of it, aren't you? Oh, and then the ghosts know that. They don't have it, though. They have, I wonder if they have human biological things that they still do, like sneeze or cough or something. That's how, that would be a giveaway, you know. The ghost's trying to be, you know, surreptitious or anything. What? Hey, I know you're here, spirit. You're not fooling me. Oh, dang it. It's allergies still. I would still have allergies in the afterlife. I know I would. Because I just think that's just part of me now. And when I imagine my ghost, it's always grabbing at its nose and everything, I think. And it has the silent G, which is what I call phlegm. Because you don't say the G. But some people, I call myself silent G. Because it's got, you know, it sounds like OG. And they go, oh, silent gangster. And I go, no, phlegmy, my old nickname. I think it's a combination of the environment and the supernatural spirits, which can be handled if what you do, here's why it's like science. So you observe the ghost is coming in the room. Now, what makes the ghost leave? Now, these ideas, these remedies must have some root in real practice. So somebody walked into their kitchen, saw the ghost of, who could it be? I'm trying to think of one of my uncles, Uncle Bumps. That wasn't his real name. We called him that, though, because they said, oh, we played football in high school. So, Bumps. So, my Uncle Bumps. But I liked him. Let's say somebody that's iffy. I don't know of any of my iffy uncles. I guess they'd, oh, I had an Uncle Jack. So Uncle Jack said, oh, Uncle Jack, what are you doing in here? And he goes, I'm the other Uncle Jack. Oh, I'm the Uncle Jack you liked. Oh, dang it, I'm sorry. Well, what do you want? Well, I was looking for some toasters. My Uncle Jack hoarded appliances that he liberated from the hospital thrift shop. So he would volunteer at the hospital thrift shop repairing up small appliances, and then he'd just take them. Now, he didn't sell them or anything. He'd just take them home and hoard them. I think that's very interesting. And he gained some pleasure from that. I don't know why. I probably thought, I'm the person for whom this hospital thrift shop is designed. Really. He was not, you know, a rich person. So maybe he just figured, I'm going to cut out the middleman and just go to this job and take things. That seems fair. I have a, I have a, oh no, they're all dead. So I don't know, they could be visiting me soon.
What if all the ghosts come at once?
I had a ghost trying to play tricks with me, and he goes, "You're the ghost, I'm the one who's alive." I go, "No, what? That's like not quite like I see ghost movie." I said, "No, you are living in a ghostly realm of self-deception, and occasionally you get glimpses of real people who try to break through. So the ghost hunters that we see are really just pathetic dead spirits, and they occasionally contact a living person who's a ghost hunter."
"Yes."
Well, I object, because I saw the ghost of this Civil War soldier, and he said, "I'm the ghost of Civil War soldier." I said, "What's your name, soldier?"
"I'm Private."
"Did they have privates?" "Yes."
"Private Burr."
"Private Burr?"
"Brownie."
"Private Brownie."
"Okay."
"Private Brownie, why are you haunting me from the afterlife?"
"I forgot something here when I was alive."
"What was it?"
"I don't remember."
"Oh, gosh, that's kind of terrible. You're stuck in some sort of ghostly tautology or something. You're in a loop. You don't know why you're here. Well, let me direct you back to the afterlife."
"Oh, no, thank you. I was in hell."
"Oh.
Don't send me back."
"All right. I'm currently sort of like secreting all these ghosts who have escaped from hell, because I can't send them back. That's not fair to them. The ones, the heaven ones, you go, come on now, go back. You know, it's a little boring, but harp lessons. Once you master the harp, then you can hook it up to all the pedals and stuff like that. Not just the pedals on the harp. I mean, like guitar pedals. And make like crazy metal stuff. So just stick to it. Also, you get to visit like the family circus family. So go back to heaven, sit on your cloud. But the hell folks, they're like, I just can't take it anymore. Do you mind if I crash here for a while?" And it's mixed, because here's the thing. So I guess they're clear. By the way, these two, there's two television shows, both of them called Ghosts. Do you follow me so far? One of them is British, and one of them is American. And they have two because of the language barrier. And this has been going on since, gosh, they've had to have two of everything since a long time ago. Steptoe and Son? I don't even know. But
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Is there any way we could take that show and make it not? So they did that with everything. They did it with, they do it both ways, because they did it with Drunk History too. They said, well, I don't know if people in the UK can understand everything that's being said. And we would like to do it with Greg Davis over and just Greg Davis over and over again. I said, that'd be great. So that's the way they do it there. But here, it's different. Now, listen to me. We are speaking about ghosts. Hardy, do you believe in ghosts?
I don't have to believe in anything. First of all, it's none of your business.
Second, belief is really not necessary. I don't even use it in my life, really.
So what, you don't believe in anything?
Either things are and they impose themselves on me, or they don't, and then their reality is irrelevant. So an imaginary hand where you don't want it to be is the same as a real one, really. And so belief is not necessary to me. I just have experiences. So I don't know if that's true. I don't believe it. I'm not sure. Do you accept as true things that other people might not? Yes, my worth. So I guess that is a type of belief. I believe in myself. I am the only thing that may not exist, so I'm going to go ahead and believe in myself. And have. Are you going to have faith? I am, if that's what you... If that's... yes. Why not? Let's just do whatever you say. I'm...
I like low key. And that's the thing, is that the ghosts are fine. Everyone's fine. If you don't rage out of nowhere, you don't get all wee-weed up or something, get all angry and everything, and are a mellow harsher. Well, I'm just passionate. No, I think it's a lack of control of your emotions. So I grew up in a Zen monastery. Well, it wasn't a Zen monastery, actually. It was a Chan Buddhist monastery in China where I learned Kung Fu. And it wasn't really, I never got to the actual fighting. I was just spent 4 years stretching my groin. And that's part, they go, until you get that stretched out, there's no sense in teaching you the other stuff. Because 90% of it is having a groin muscle that will allow your leg to just come right off of the socket and go out and do stuff and come back. Like Inspector Gadget. And I couldn't get there. You know, and to this day, I got my hip walking is not the greatest thing for me. So, thank goodness that I eavesdropped in on some of the mind levitation courses there at the monastery school. I'd listen in and I'd write things down, and there literally are magic words that make things float. I'm not going to tell you what they are, but people in aviation, they know. Engineers know what these magic words are, and a lot of them are equations. But there are a few that are just, you know, well, I'm not going to do them. You're not going to trick me into doing them, and then stuff starts floating around your room and my room, and you go, this is unreal. This shatters everything I know about reality. Well, then you probably have too much belief. Because how would you react in one of these movies? This is what I always want to know. When there's something that just defies physics. I believe you've been conditioned against being shocked by cinema. But if just people, if someone just materialized out of nowhere, you would probably go, you know, greetings or something. You know, I say that you're using a transporter device. It wouldn't freak you out the way it would. Well, it might not have freaked out an ancient. They'd go, oh, great, a ghost. You know, I'm no ghost. I am a traveler from another. Shut up, ghost. You're not my family. Get out of here. And they chase him with a amulet, which is in the shape of a frying pan. That's what I'm imagining in my head. And the ghost is feeling it because it's not a ghost. It's a visitor from another planet. Like in the Stugatsky brothers, Hard to Be a God, the ones that wrote Roadside Picnic. That is not how you say their last name. It is not Stugatsky, but it's something like that. Because that's one of those instances where my mnemonic device doesn't work very well. Because I was like, I'll remember their name that way. And now I can't remember their proper name. So, but I'm having a fun laugh with you about it. Oh, my goodness. We have only now, don't we? Oh, now we have another now, another endless. They're wonderful. Nows are unlike pennies in that when they build up over time, you don't really get anything out of it. In fact, you've lost. It's like a now is like something that takes a penny away from you. It's with every instant you spin a little top. And it says, put one. I had a little put and take top that my grandfather had. And it was a little tiny, it looked like a dreidel, but it was made out of brass. And it had put one, take one, put two, take two, or something like that. And you'd spin it and you'd play put and take. And it's just a basic game of, well, you just do what's on the, you follow the instructions. I don't like it because I don't like to be told what to do. So that's generally games are bad for me. Because I'm like, what are you doing? I'm going, I don't know. I'm just feeling, I feel like I want to go to this space. And they go, no, you had to go in order and roll the dice. And why leave my fate to something as random as dice? I see a property I like on Monopoly. I'm going to fly there in my special balloon that I made, like an Andrei Rublev, We're going to just talk about Tarkovsky-related things today. Why? Because he's here with me, and I don't speak Russian, and it's awkward. So I get a lot of the foreign ghosts because they'll see my books, and they'll think that I know more than I do. I told a bookstore owner that this weekend. I said, a lot of my books I just have scattered around my house to make me look like an intellectual. And he looked at me with horror and said, I hope that's not true. Oh, wow, man, I didn't know. Is it that really? Because I think they used to do that on... I grew up watching shows that did that. Maybe it was a Love American style, or I don't know, but I was told it was not a bad thing. God, this guy got kind of hot. I was like, all right. So, no, I don't read them all. I bought a couple books that I don't understand this weekend because I liked the topic. I go, that's something I'd like to know about. But then it's the telling that I can't get through. It's like, oh, isn't there a short answer? Thank goodness for that first couple sentences on Wikipedia. Because these things, I remember thinking that, go, I think that I would like this guy, Spinoza. I'm going to sit down with some. So, that's when you think, oh, I wish I was in a college class where I could pretend to do the readings and then just trick the professor into telling me what it's about. I think you can do that and say, I thought this page was about this. And they go, no, it's about this. Okay, I'm writing that down. Tricked you. Didn't have to read it. The only thing I read, I don't mean to digress, but this isn't really digressing because I want to talk about ghosts in fiction. And the only class that I remember reading all of the books that I was assigned was a gothic fiction class. So it was exploring like a gothic devices. And the very first thing we read was Walpole's Castle of Otranto. And it has a lot of ghostly appearances and everything, like a giant ghost leg, just a leg in a hallway. I love that. But that was one of the first things. But also had subtle things, like in Jane Eyre, where you hear Orson Welles go, Jane, or something like that. And it was a whole course of that stuff. And I really enjoyed it. And I read it all. Because I wanted to say, oh, I'm fascinated by this. I want to learn more about ghosts. And there was nothing on campus that would teach you really about them. You have to go off campus to a strip mall to something called Ghost College, which is where I went. And I studied a little bit there. And you learn all about them now. Everything has a ghost. Every creature, not just humans. There's all sorts of ghost creatures, ghost crabs, ghost birds, and all that. Now, you've heard of a ghost pepper, but technically that's a yokai. Some things are demons, and they don't count. For to be a ghost, it has to be somebody or something, buddy, that was, by something, I mean a creature that we don't acknowledge as a creature, and we insist on calling things, like a mite. Or a spider or something scary. And those all have a ghost, which is a clear three-dimensional outline, basically. I don't know how else to describe it. This is how it was told to me at the college. And all these ghosts you can talk to, but you have to make up a language with them, much in the way that twins create a language together. I did a series of YouTube videos where I would learn a twin language and then go in and confront one of the twins with it. And they'd go, oh, how do you, they're all called a white boy speaks twin language, shocks restaurant owner. And first of all, I love twin food anyway. So that's a good way to learn it. But I went into this place and the twins waiting on me. I said, can I take your order? And I go, gooba gabla, like a blooba glabloops. like that, and he almost died. He said, how do you know my secret twin language? And I went, "Bacalabra-blida-da-tac." And he got real violent. And I don't know whether he thought that I was his twin and I had a body transplant and didn't tell him, or a face transplant and didn't tell him, because there are all those shock shows now where people get face transplants and they don't tell their family, and then they show up with the new face and go, I wish you had told me. And it doesn't really match, and you look like a David Lynch special effect. You go, well, whatever. I didn't want that. Oh, my goodness, the things that scare us. I hope I'm not frightening you, and then you'll list me on your things to avoid and how to avoid them. That's a great book. I'm going to make a whole... Have you noticed how I don't really tell you any of my opinions? Well, I don't really have any. And why? Because I've always wanted to be on radio. And I think if you want to really broadcast in the long run, you should avoid opinions because they don't age well. And it is really having them on radio is basically like lining your walls with craft singles. Or something perishable. I don't know how fam. They may never rot. I like the product. I enjoy it. I think there's nothing wrong with it. But it's not appropriate. It's not siding. Nothing is. Strips of meat. Probably better analogy. And if you've ever tried to decorate with meat, no matter how thinly sliced, a meat veneered table or anything like that, sounds good. There's all these art students going, oh, been there, you know, don't work with meat. Lady Gaga tried it, and it's just, don't do it. There's better materials. You know what's a good one is that sealing foam, that insulating foam that expands. Work with that. You can make Muppets out of it. I was sitting in a dark room when the ghost appeared. I didn't see the ghost at first. I merely felt that I was not alone, that there was someone or something behind me. And I'm by something, I mean some creature that's alive, but whose personhood we don't acknowledge because they're a different species, because we're speciesists. And we think that we are gods and everything else that it's alive is not. And also people think that within families, you know, it's like you are merely a aquatic mammal and I am a gorilla. I think the aquatic mammals, though, are usually smarter than the gorilla. Have I got that mistaken, cousin? My friend? Oh, am I scary? Am I scaring you yet? I don't want to scare you too bad. If you're alone, you're going to say, oh, don't start this stuff, because I really saw one, Hardy. When I start, I'm sorry what is happening on the comment board right now, because I imagine, because when you mention something like that, it feels like it's a solicitation to convey a personal story, which everything is on the internet. And I realize that now. So it used to be you'd say something, and before, this is kind of before the hive mind, you just say something and people go, I don't think about that. And they didn't all get it at once and that kind of thing. Now you say something and convey an experience, and person, and I've seen this at lectures and everything, this is really something, people will stand up and they will then tell their story. And I was thought, oh, that's very interesting. Everybody, as if it's a cue. Say, now I'm to contribute mine. That is evidence that you sort of understand your assignment, which is just to like have experiences, throw them in. They might not be relevant to the collective, species and everything. We might not care, we might. So I like that. Everybody has their story to tell. And wonderful. It does make, I find cocktail parties more boring because of that. Just sit in a circle, stand up, tell your story and everything. Don't pretend to have conversations. That's fine. Also, because I'm at a disadvantage because I make things up and, you know, that's the biggest one, I guess, is the lying. And I had a family member said, I want you to go to therapy. I said, okay, I will. That'd be great. I should do that. Everybody is. And I said, now, and don't lie. And I said, I will. The first thing I'm going to say to that therapist is, everything I say is a lie. And we'll take it from there. Oh, yes. Oh my goodness. I'm a walking riddle. But it's true. I think that's true. So I'm just warning. I think it's fair to say it up front. I always say it on this show. And then even if I say something that kind of, I'm making finger quotes, literally happened to me, I also believe it's a lie. Because if you really dissect why I'm telling you, what I might want from that, how I've colored the story, how I've selected details to say something about myself, it's got to be a lie. How could it possibly contain all of the truth? Because it's coming from me. I'm a propagandist. Sometimes not even for myself. Sometimes against myself if I'm in one of those moods. And so nothing I say can be believed. And I encourage you to not believe yourself. I would be lost. I would become unmoored. Oh, that's what they tell you. They say, don't pull that anchor up. If you pull the anchor up, you might drift out to sea. You're a ship. You're fine. You're meant to... Yes, the sea is more unpredictable than being moored at the dock. But the sea, that's where it's all happening. That's what you're designed for. You're designed to go and ride out onto the unknown. That's what you're doing. You're cruising the surface of an unknown depth of unknown. Isn't that creepy? You don't really know what's under there. You may have an idea, but you don't. And you cannot contemplate the vastness of the sea, and you certainly cannot contemplate the vastness of the universe on which you are also floating on a little film on top without a good view of the whole thing. But why not surf it with aplomb? With a plum? With aplomb. I don't know what you're saying. Why not do it with style? Do it with style. Go surf. Pull up the anchor. Nothing will happen. Abandon reason. It's okay. You're controlled by your emotions. Acknowledge it. Get a handle on those. I want to be more rational and reasonable. No, just be less emotional. Or guide them. Learn how to steer them. Because they're what causes your beliefs here, you know? It's it's called your feeling knowledge. I just know it's true in my gut. Well, yeah. I don't even know what's going on in my gut. As a person with lifelong sort of gut problems, I don't even want to know. I don't know what's causing that pain. I don't know whether it's nuts in my diverticuli. I was told in the 80s that my colon was the site of the filming of Magic School Bus. And this may have been the case that it was taking place in my gut. And I do remember a doctor's appointment in the 80s that was sort of sus, where the needle was really large and I thought they could get a tiny school bus in that. And then I didn't think anything of it. And then I would sometimes at night I'd hear children screaming. But I thought, oh, it's just, you know, everybody hears that. That's just age. And by gosh, so it could be. I don't know what's going on inside of me. I want to know. And that's why I think people listen to my show. Sometimes they go, you will give us some clue to what's going on inside of us, Hardy. And I go, well, why do you think that's the case? And they say, well, because you are, I feel like you're exposing yourself. I go, what do you, that's not the greatest choice of words. I go, you are opening yourself up. except instead of it being an overcoat, you know, so you open the overcoat like that and flash people with your nudity, you are taking a finger and you're wedging them in to your sternum. You're grabbing your rib cage and you're tearing your rib cage open and you're showing them your heart, your still beating heart. And he goes, "Is that what you want to see? You want to see me raw and exposed?" Like, except I'm not literally doing that. I mean, I'm just figured. I'm pretending. It's a fake. I'm lying. I'm pretending. It's silly. I'm just being silly. So, oh my goodness! I hope I haven't frightened any of the kids. You know, is when what's a good age for like body horror and stuff like that? Look at your hand is turning into a plant. I remember hearing stuff like that. And being much too young for it in my 20s. But I did have dreams. Things were growing out of me. I think it's probably the future for most of us. It'd be nice, wouldn't that? That's the loveliest thing, that you're just a corpse in the forest and out of your belly comes some beautiful exotic plant. I don't know what type of plant. Let's say a sega palm. That's, to me, it's so primitive and exotic. Just imagine your corpse. And it's a breaking down in a beautiful way because it's a nice damp, you know, so things can eat it. Bugs are eating it. Plants are using it for food. That's so much better than being in a metal box like most of you plan on doing. No wonder all these ghosts are coming back. They go, "I can't stand being in that casket. It is airtight. There is no way. I was pumped full of liquid and everything, and there is still some water in me, and now I'm putrefying. And I am not being in there with that odor." So back to there being two ghosts television shows. We're obviously obsessed with them. And we do think they're just us, but so that we can't see them. By the way, the implication is that these ghosts don't exist. They're all happening in the head of the person who got hit hard in the head. And it's really about their spouses coping with that, with these delusions. That's my take on it. So, but be that as it may, and the head of the American woman is so desperately corny. Oh my gosh, I love this new show, but the American one is written by AI. And it's interesting to contrast that one that was written by a sketch comedy team that's been together for decades. It's a very, very interesting contrast. To me, they're all dead. They're all ghosts. They're all, that's fine. That's not my world. My goodness, here I am, who are you to criticize TV? I don't see your TV show. That's what people say to you. Who are you to criticize gangland murders? I don't see your murderous gang. Exactly. I'm not one to speak. So, and gosh, I could not. I don't have the intellect or the talent to work in television. So why are you on radio? It's different. When I was a young person, I had a job at a putt-putt golf. I hate to say that name because it's actually the trademark. A miniature golf, but that, unfortunately, I shouldn't have said that. That's the actual company. Regardless, I have to say that because they had a competitive sport, unlike the miniature golf places that have like windmills. This company was a windmill-less, clown headless course. So it was just like little concrete putting course, right? So they would have people compete, and they had pros, and pros even had one glove, just like Michael Jackson or a real golfer, and they'd come up and they'd compete like this. And this was, they took it very seriously, and there were cash prizes. It's golf, not golf. Professional golf, PGA, that's television. Putt-putt, radio, something like that. So it's not easy. They're not, it's just a different sport. Is all. But it's harder, though, to get, probably harder to get on. They don't let you call into television nearly as much. They did when people, a lot of radio was like, let's go on, as the internet came in, let's put radio on the television and you can watch D DJs. And that is, what's the point then? Now it's just a boring television show. Now it's just Dick Cavett. I don't want that. It's Dick Cavett. No, I'm not going to be. He's still living, isn't he? Hey, I share an IMDb with him. We have a credit. Share one. It's not funny. We're in the same thing together. Isn't that brilliant? I've got like two things I was ever in. And one of them he was into. We did not meet. I was hanging around the green room. I go, he's going to come in. But he didn't. And because I had a question for him. He said, what did you mean when you said to Richard Pryor, I bet I could write black? Because I saw that interview recently. I was just wondering, because he looked really, really, even Richard Pryor, very shocked. So he's just wondering what you meant. I always want to ask celebrities things about themselves like that. Bless them. Oh, my gosh. Again, if you go back and you listen to my older shows, I would say some things back in the day, like I'd say, you'll really need to use lard in those cat head biscuits. And I would never say that today. You use whatever shortening you want. But now I'm so embarrassed. I used to get embarrassed about almost everything I did. And it was because I was picking up on other people's embarrassment for me. But now I think, do I want to be embarrassed? And I think in a way I do, because you turn red and everybody could use like a little color. It's good to get a little blood up in the, you know, look more alive. So sometimes I'll do it. I'll just to get that kind of flushed cheek look, I'll leave my fly open at a party. And people go, you know, your zipper's down. I'll go, woo! And then you get these beautiful, you don't have to do, because usually I have to pinch my cheeks to get that nice redness. But also now I've got hypertension, so I don't want to hurt myself, because I'm afraid that if I get too embarrassed, this is no, don't go on the radio. Could one of you thinking now, I know someone's out there, I don't mean to romp a room, mind read you. Is there someone out there, your name begins with M or an N or something, and you think, I think I would be good at radio? Don't think that. Just move on. Find something else. Don't have a podcast either. All this is going to be gone soon. You know, people think we can't go back from technology, and the future's digital, and I... No, you're going to be reading off of clay tablets sooner than you think. I don't want to give anything away, but let's just say a lot of you are going to get your dream of living a really naturalistic life. And imagine it's like Planet of the Apes, but the apes are ghosts. So just ghosts run things now. No, that's not scary enough. Nobody runs things. It's like Planet of the Apes, which you go, where is everybody? I went in all the public buildings. That'd be lovely. I would just like, could someone make this? I think they already have, but I want to see it again, and I want every movie to be this. From now on, I demand it. Person goes out into space, lands on a planet. It's Earth, but it's empty. Liminal space only. It's just that. And then it's just, and they have this on the internet. And you go down that rabbit hole. It's lovely. It's just spaces with nobody in them. And some of them are cities, just empty. Probably could do with AI now. It's just Waterloo Bridge, empty. You just walk. So, well, I like to people watch. Well, I'm sorry, I don't want to tell you. Go to the library, look at some books with people in them. But vast, empty spaces, oh, just kind of lovely. If you live in a city with under a million inhabitants that has an airport, that's a lovely liminal space. I go there sometimes. You go, I'm going to go. I've had to pick people up for the 10 p.m. flight. I try to get video of it. I go, wish the people at the Hertz counter would just step away for a second, because sometimes there's only one employee there or something. And I go, this is lovely, empty airport. Nobody will... This is how I'm going to convince my YouTube subscribers I'm time traveling. But, you know, eventually people come in from the Atlanta flight or something like that. Oh, my goodness. I was in one time. I was in the Tallahassee, Florida airport. And I was sitting, and it's very small. And it was even smaller then, I think. I think it was half a gate. And the other half was like a Subway or a Taco Bell. And I'm sitting there, and off steps the governor of Florida, who at the time was J.E.B. Bush, called Jeb. And it's governor of Florida. And he stepped off, and I said, what did I say? Governor of Florida, or something like that. I don't know what I said. And he acknowledged me. I didn't know. I don't know that he knew he was the governor of Florida. I didn't know whether I was supposed to tell him. I don't know whether. I just felt like maybe I was a herald in an earlier time, and that I saw him. And then, because I'm the person that will do that, because I've done that before. Mel Brooks. I did that one time at called a racetrack in Miami, and. Because I believe that, you know, they do this at fancy parties too, right? The Baron and Baroness Alanza, right? And I just do it when I see a notable person. And it's because I can't make conversation. So I was about to do it to Conan O'Brien, and somebody else weirder got there first. I was right there. I was 2 feet away. And I'm not going to go into details. I had a reason to speak to him. And as I'm doing, these two people from out of a movie, they go, I can't believe it. I can't believe it's you kind of people. And I was like, oh, dang it, man. I was going to be so cool. But I didn't yell. I should have yelled the name immediately. That's how you do it. You go, Governor. I told Martin Short his name one time. Trying to think of other stuff. I love to drop these names because sometimes if I wait too long, they get old and brittle and nobody recognizes them, and I'll drop them and they'll shatter. And so I'm trying to think of, because I did that with when I was a child, I met Rudy Valli. And I go, oh, it's not Evergreen. You know, there's people going, I don't know. And Mickey Dolenz, I didn't meet. But I wish I had met, not that my life's over yet, but I want to meet more people that sort of like contributed to the general culture. So I'm going to try to think of, see, just off the top of my head. I don't have any heroes or anything, so I don't know. I do that on purpose because that's a great way to get disappointed. Woo! Also, don't be a fan. You can like individual works and go, I like that one scene, and someone says, but don't ever say, I'm a fan, or I really enjoy it. You know, like the baked good, not the baker. Then, see, I can't think of anybody. Who would I like to, not political figures, probably. People in the arts? No, they're often a disappointment. People tangentially in the arts, maybe. Yeah, maybe something like that. I prefer to meet, and this is not, and I bet this is true for you too. I would rather meet some unknown working actor or film business person who's had, you know, been able to spy like a fly in the wall on celebrities than I would the actual celebrity. So I would rather hear stories. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I saw Robert Downey put bologna up his nose or something to go, I'd rather hear that than talk to the, right? Because I got nothing in common with the other person. But my fascination with the lives of others is something I have in common with people of my own lower social economic peerage. I like to think we're a peerage. I give it, we should all have titles. All the lowly should have titles. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. Emperor Norton is my emperor, and I'm fully down with people who are nuts, or you know, those are my people. Is the person on the street corner with a crown on. That's my king. There was a fellow, though, in a Tallahassee, and he would stand out on a corner with a sign, and he'd wear a crown, and he had a beard, and called him King Love. And he said, oh, this, what a beautiful thing, and he was just promoting love and everything. And I knew some folks that said, you know, you need a place to stay, King Love, and they had him in their apartment. And it turned out he was not particularly loving. In fact, he was a sort of a traditional king. I'll just say that. Acted like most kings would act. If you had, I don't know, you know, Henry VIII over or something. So, oh my goodness. So love the love, not the king love. Eschew the titles. Oh, still, I wouldn't mind being knighted. I don't know if I have... I gotta get Howard... So, I feel like it's going to be through Mr. Bean. Because Rowan Atkinson is a really good friend of the king. The current king of England. And Rowan Atkinson is a very old close friend. Because they're both inexplicably billionaires. So... I think that now maybe you could get like, you know, 6 degrees of seven degreeness connected to that person. And, you know, then I could say to the king, hey, you know, it'd be fun. I'd want to be, you know, I'd love to be knighted. I don't know if it's even possible. I don't think you can give those to Americans, but I'd be willing to defect or whatever you call it. I wouldn't mind that. If you could set me up the little... I think you call them flat. I don't know. We don't, in London, I'd love an apartment, though. That might be something different over there.
Yes, what you call an apartment, we call a duplex.
Oh, everything's backward.
Public school is private school.
All right, don't touch my Publix.
What?
Here, that's a grocery chain, but there, I guess it means genitals. No, it's not all. You can't do it like that. It doesn't not all one-for-one flip like that. If you all remember that wonderful episode of the Beverly Hillbillies. Are you talking about ghosts still? I'm talking about things that remain. After the thing that created them is gone, the sense of something that lingers on like a ghost. Memories are ghosts. They come to us without substance. They come to us in dreams. We relive the experience of other people, people we have cared about, people we know, people we don't know, people we imagine lived. And they are in us, all these ghosts. And they're all around us because everything we see touched the lives of somebody or was created by somebody who's no longer here. Almost everything. Everything grows from the bones and the decay of those who have come before. Oh, my friend, I don't mind being a pre-ghost. I love it. I'm going to give them something to remember. I want to make an imprint on your mind and use this time together on the radio to really convey something. I want you to step outside yourself. I want you to float in that ether now. Not still, keep your heart beating. Keep your heart beating. Keep breathing. Keep going. Haunt this realm. Be a constant reminder of your existence. Insist. Let others know that you are there. Factor me into your equation, you say. That's my haunting. Deal with me. I was. I am. I will have been. For now we're together. We can still do things. We can still have wonderful experiences. Let's try. Oh, my goodness, I want to lift your heart. Whatever your beliefs are, whoever your ghosts are, I will give you some magic words.
that I have made up and misunderstood, cobbled together from a language that I don't understand. I'm in love with the sound. It's the sound that's liberating, I think. I'm putting my faith in certain tones and certain rhythms. Ah, la tsata mach, hu la zulu mach, fe fe la si se moch, emate a halamach, pe promoch, shuli te chamado, palama satan tokos bandiba. That last was twin language. The other was a real ancient language, and you can look it up. Run it through a translator, see what happens. I don't know. Yeah, you didn't know a lot about Hardy, did you? Oh, bless you, I'm just kidding. Sometimes I wish I was powerful. But we all, don't we all have a certain power? No. But we're secretly powerful? No. But deep inside, we have the power? No. No. Power? You're made of power? All right. Just like they said in The Matrix, you're basically a battery. But that's all right. Oh, bless you. What's running on me? A silly toy. You're a battery that runs the symbol chimp. Do you like that? I mean it in both senses of the words. Do you ever see the chattering monkey that claps the cymbals? Symbol chimp. Symbol monkey. And that's what you are. You're a symbol monkey. That's what language is. You're just a monkey, but with symbols. And symbols don't really mean anything, do they? Oh, the symbols create a world that really isn't there. They're another world that lives on the surface of a world that really is. And we'll never know the depths that it goes because we cruise on the surface like a little bug that's too light to sink into the sea. And so rides the meniscus of the waters of the cosmos of the cosmos. That's a geeky little church. You want to go, I want to go to church, but I hate everybody. Yes, I know. And I have faith that it's not true. Exactly. I think I'd have, there's a lot of people, I would love to meet somebody in church who goes, I realize it's just an arbitrary belief. I just think they got to decide on something and then use that as a vehicle. All right. Yeah, so my religious tradition is this. Do I believe it? You know, who knows? Who cares? It doesn't matter. It's a framework for something else. All right, that's fine. I use it as basically a template or a language to express some deeper feelings, and I don't mind making compromises in that language. Yes, are the words imperfect? Yes. Does God have any real meaning? No, but when I communicate with... Okay, I got the point. That's great. Just choose it. I believe the Dalai Lama said that. Just said, for God's sakes, just pick a religion and go with it. Doesn't matter, Aaron. Doesn't matter. Are they all the same? No, they're not all the same. Doesn't matter. They're all the same and that songs are all the same. So what I'm saying is you get on stage at karaoke, gotta sing something. So, you know, pick something that you sort of like or whatever. Sing that. That's what am I doing that? Nah, a little bit. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. My goodness. I'm trying to give you wisdom, but then I still have a string tied to it. So it's like I'm giving you a coin, but then you take it and and it's got a string. I pull it back and I put it back into my pocket. So you think you've received something until you go to look for it later and it's not there. Oh, why would I burden you with money? Why would I burden you with ideas? I don't want you to be thinking about me when the radio show ends. Ew. That's called a residual. That's called a aftertaste. Do you have to let it linger? No. Does it have to smell at your finger? No. You don't. It can just go away. It can disappear like a chalk drawing. That's me. You were listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County in New York City, New York, and online at WFMU.org, worldwide. Freeform radio, the way it was meant to be, if it didn't know what it wanted to be. Bless you. Coming up is the next show, Mahogany. Listen to it.
His name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. Twins' 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 name was Ebony.